Welcome to the Transformational Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Hannah Anam. My mission is to help you lead more effectively and be an agent of positive change in times of disruption. On this podcast, we interview practitioners and leadership experts and have coaching exercises that you can apply immediately to your work challenges. Together, we learn how to achieve success and create workplaces in a world that work better for all. It's my pleasure to welcome back Patty Hull. This is part two of our conversation with him, and I just felt like we couldn't cram everything that I wanted to talk about, so we decided to break it up into two parts. Patty Hull is a future work expert and leader at Unilever, and as he describes his job description, it is to help people stay fit for work now and in the future. And he is leading a program to deliver on three commitments: equipping people for the future of work, pioneering new flexible employment options, and partnering with others to create jobs and skills for young people outside of Unilever. How fun is that? Welcome to the show. Welcome back, Patty.
Thanks very much, Hannah. Great to be back. And yes, I'm very fortunate to have one of the best job descriptions in the world.
Yes, yes. And in our last episode, in case people haven't heard the last episode, we talked about purpose, how Unilever has come to purpose, how Unilever has reinvented itself and transformed itself to make sustainable living commonplace. And as part of that, how they have enabled 60,000 Unilever employees to actually contemplate their own purpose and bring that to the workplace. And so I thought that was such a beautiful conversation. And what really struck me about that conversation, Patty, was how when you discovered your own purpose, how you took the time to actually have a conversation with your boss to say, this is how I am when I'm at my very best, and I want to pursue a career path in that direction. And so I'm thinking that this could be very powerful as a way to start in terms of the future of work. How do organizations enable people to bring their best selves to the workplace in an environment where everything is shifting? Jobs are going away and new jobs are getting created.
That's the perfect question to ask, Hannah, actually, because it's one that we have been asking ourselves. And this is the reason for my role. We were saying, how does Unilever respond to a world where we hear about the fourth industrial revolution and the robots are coming for our jobs, and we hear about the gig economy and how that's growing, but how that also has a dark side. And we hear about all these trends and aging workforce and how are we going to look after people who would like to be working longer as they want to. And we hear about things like the four-day week and these different ideas around how we can work. And at the center of all of that, it comes back down to the individual and how are we going to look after each person in terms of how they think about what it's going to take for them to thrive in a different world of work.
It just struck me, Patty, that the mindset that you and Unilever are bringing to future of work is actually different than the mindset that many other people might be bringing. And it might help for us to just pause here and become conscious of that. You use the word, how do we take care of people in the midst of all of this change? And that's a very different mindset than a lot of organizations that might be focused around, how do I make sure that I meet my financial results? How do I make sure that I get competitive advantage in the marketplace? How do I make sure that I reduce my employee costs during the change in the future of work as AI comes? What I just wanted to pause at is the question you're asking is different than the question that so many organizations might be asking. And of course, our answers vary depending on the questions that are asked. And I guess I wanted to pause there and just have people who are listening into the podcast get a sense of what are the questions they're asking as they think about the future of work. Who are all the stakeholders are thinking about? Because depending on the perspective you stand in, the multi-stakeholder perspective that you're bringing is very powerful. And I just wanted to raise some consciousness around that.
Oh, thanks, Hannah. I appreciate that. I mean, yeah, the multi-stakeholder model is at the core of what Unilever believes is responsible capitalism. And in fact, we believe it's the only way to be successful as a business in today's world, that we have a responsibility towards our people, our consumers, our customers, our suppliers, our shareholders. You know, we have a responsibility towards everyone. And I think that does then inform the questions that we ask ourselves, exactly as you've said. And in the last podcast, I think I mentioned to you, we have a belief that people with purpose thrive. And so that then also informs our thinking around how do we respond to the future of work, to these trends coming at us, and how do we put the individual at the center of that. And one of the big things that we focus in on is, I guess, a lot of organizations are thinking about how do we reskill and upskill our people so that they can perform jobs in a world that's increasingly automated and digitized. And I think we worry that that misses one fundamental thought, which is that we're not just reskilling or rebooting a robot here when we're talking about this. You know, it's not some inanimate object that we can just reprogram and say, Joe, you were a cashier, but tomorrow we want you to work in cyber or something like that. And we're talking about people here, and people are unique. And one cashier would do their job differently to the way another cashier does it because we're unique. We've got our own passion, strengths, purpose. And so we really want to begin. We do have a commitment that we want to reskill and upskill our people, but our thinking on that begins from how do we help our people discover their purpose, think about their passions and strengths, and therefore what path they want to follow towards reskilling and upskilling. We all will need to reskill and upskill. We're all doing our jobs differently, and we'll continue to as AI and augmentation comes along. In fact, I saw a presentation earlier this week about one of our factory sites and how that has been fundamentally transformed by robotics. And what was great to see is that the dull, repetitive tasks around packing bottles into a box and all that are all gone for humans anyway. And that the human input now is far more on the problem solving, on optimization, on thinking about continuous improvement. That's the roles that, you know, that humans are playing in factories. So we will need to upskill into those roles, but different people are going to choose different paths in that approach. And we really want to be making sure that's the bit when I talk about caring for our people, working with them. We know we can't always protect jobs, so to speak, but we can seek to protect livelihoods and help people think differently about how they might want to work, how they might want to use their skills, grow their skills based on their purpose.
So Patty, I love that you shared this example of a factory that is going through a lot of change, which I think is what our world will go through at a macro level, at a micro level, within a team, a factory, a location. And I would love for you to take us through, what is that journey? Like, if I put myself in the shoes of Joe, right, and my job packing stuff in boxes just went away because a robot is doing it, and I happen to be working for Unilever. Take me through the journey that me as Joe, that I go through to eventually find a better livelihood.
So I think the first step, Hannah, is that long before Joe's job gets replaced by a robot, we are working together with Joe. I think that's one of the fundamental principles on which we operate as well, is that we want to work together with our employee representatives and unions and employees, basically to realize that that change is now continuous. It's not, you know, a factory is going to change once every 10 years and all that. A factory is changing continuously. For example, even offices are changing continuously in office work. So first of all, get to that agreement that change is continuous, and therefore we want to have a continuous dialogue about how we're preparing people for change. And so that we can give people the maximum amount of time possible to reskill, upskill, do whatever they want to do to be ready for the future. So I think that's the first point, is we would commence those conversations way ahead of the actual change. I think the second thing that would happen is that Joe would go through a purpose workshop. So we'd work with Joe to discover his purpose if he hasn't done that already. What we found for some of our factory workers is that a lot of their purpose is rooted in service to their community. You know, they are often contributing beyond just their factory roles in the community, doing things for their community. So we're often then trying to link future jobs or experiences or training to how they can do service in the community. That could be an option. It could be that Joe is actually really keen on the factory of the future and problem solving and creativity and all that. And then that's an upskilling journey that we can take Joe on. Or Joe might be actually quite keen on reskilling, as we determine it is about reskilling into a different job in Unilever. So he might decide now is a perfect opportunity to pivot his career into another function. So we try to help people think through those sorts of options based on their purpose. Based on their purpose, what's a good match with their skill sets? What are going to be the easiest pathways for them to follow to move into something else that still has meaning for them, so they are still able to live their purpose in it, and maybe actually even better? Because I think for many of us, we sometimes have just arrived in jobs and we're doing them, but actually maybe it's not fully connected with our purpose. So it's actually a wonderful opportunity to help people pivot and think differently about the future. So, and we call that process the future fit planning process, that we take people through that whole process together. And then coupled with that process, we're looking at a variety of different options for people in terms of employment models, because Joe might also decide that actually this 9-to-5 thing is not suiting me either, that actually I'm at a life stage where I'm nearing retirement. I don't want to retire fully. I still want to be engaged in Unilever, but I don't really want to do the 9-to-5 anymore. So we're then experimenting with new employment models to give Joe the option that he could stay a Unilever employee, but just work on assignments in Unilever, no longer have a specific job or role, but actually come in and just work on different assignments. As we need help with line changes or problem solving things, he'll have this wealth of experience that we can bring in. He could help new young apprentices who are learning the skills of the trade. So we can then give Joe a way in which he can almost gracefully retire rather than just stopping one day and that's it, you know, to move gracefully into a retirement option. So we're looking at this all together, you know, how we support people in their planning and their thinking, but then also what are the different ways of working, because we recognize that the actual ways of working are shifting dramatically as well. And how can we support people making different decisions about that?
Yeah. I love this fit for future, you called it?
Yeah, the future fit plan. Yes.
The future fit plan. I love that. And what I love about it is that you're putting the employee in the middle of it, in the center of it. Mm-hmm. And you're giving the employee a lot of power to choose and a lot of dignity to find their way in the midst of all of this change, which I imagine it creates incredible psychological safety for the employee, right? And I imagine that in the midst of this disruption, employees that feel safe are much more creative and much more resilient.
You've nailed it there. I mean, that's our belief. You can imagine telling people, oh, you need to reskill, the sort of fight or flight response that generates when there's no other context. And we believe, yes, that starting from purpose and helping people, that really helps people take agency over what's happening, or have agency over what's happening, rather than the change being done to them. And we think, as you say, that that's going to lead to far better outcomes for us as a business and for the individuals concerned, because when they are more creative around their options and all that and have that psychological safety, they'll be bolder, more courageous. I can share one quick example that we had one person, so not a Joe, we'll call her Jane because it was one of our women employees working in one of our factories. And while she was considering her different options, she came to us and said, actually, she wants to become a dog trainer, which surprised us a little bit, from factory employee to dog trainer, was not something that we had on our radars. And she put together a bit of a business case around why she wanted support from Unilever to help her become a dog trainer. And what was wonderful to see was that it all came from her purpose. So she'd realized all along she'd shown dogs, and she'd always been involved in dogs her whole life, was passionate about dogs, was a big influence in the whole dog training sphere and all of that, and realized that actually that was what brought her joy and passion, and that's what she wanted to do full time. And so we supported that because we realized actually she's actually potentially going to create jobs. She's going to do a whole lot for the community if we support her in this shift to become a dog trainer. And as I said, so we did that. So yeah, the options that people then feel that they have, the psychological safety to make those choices is enhanced. The aperture is opened as well in terms of their eyes, in terms of what they could be doing differently. And because we try to engage early, they have the time as well to consider this. I think that's so important. And I know it's hard, you know, because a lot of businesses, it's regulated sometimes by what you can and can't do in terms of the unions and when you can announce. But if you can find a way to help at least give people time to prepare for change, it's going to lead to such better outcomes.
Beautiful. So what is the role of the manager in this future fit plan? Obviously, the employee has a role because they're figuring out their purpose. They're being creative. I love what you said about your aperture being open as you get more psychological safety. What's the role of the manager in this process? Or is this sort of run by the HR organization? Is it all sort of digital? I'm going to fill out these forms and now all of a sudden, you know, now the organization knows that I want to be a dog trainer.
So we have digitized the process, but then the actual conversations and all that are still very much human interactions. So all our line managers and employees go through a workshop to introduce the whole Future Fit Plan concept. So to help people get their heads around it, line managers have some training in terms of how to support employees through this process. And then, like the experience I described in the first podcast, where I came out of a similar workshop, the purpose workshop, and then had the discussion with my line manager about it. That's the whole point of the Future Fit Plan, that the individual does their Future Fit Plan, then goes to their line manager and has the conversation, is able to now have an open sort of fact-based discussion once they've gone through this process to say, I've realized that given my purpose, this is the path that I want to follow. These are the things I want to do to get there. We've got various mechanisms. For example, we have a platform called Flex Experiences, where people can spend 20% of their time working on a project in another part of the business. And the idea is that they get to then experience that function, and they may think of moving because they might be thinking of moving into that function, or they can demonstrate skills that they've developed through doing these different things. So, for example, people might then come to the line manager and say, I want to do some flex experiences in e-commerce, for example, because that's an area I feel passionate about. You know, do you support that based on all, you know, these things that I've done in my Future Fit Plan? And I think it helps the line managers that people have done that effort in their Future Fit Plan, because then they can see the logic and see the thinking behind what people are suggesting. It's not some random thought about, yeah, I want to try this. We're asking people to really think it through so that when they're having a conversation with the line manager, it can be a far more robust conversation. And then, yeah, the line managers then do have discretion to support, to challenge, to, you know, get people to think differently about it. That's what we want to do, to suggest further career coaching so we can also provide further support through people experience leads who support it. But yeah, we try and make sure that most of the conversations are employee and line manager driven, because yeah, this shouldn't just be seen as an HR initiative. This is about making our organization future fit, because if we have people with future fit skills, then our organization's going to thrive as well. So line managers need to have an interest in making sure this happens.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I imagine that having the people do the inner work, play their inner game, so to speak, as you talked about in your leadership competencies from the last podcast interview, and having some sense of clarity about their own purpose and being an agent in their career pathing, and then being able to put it in some kind of a digital platform where then you can source that information. And I imagine that it gives you great insight and analytics, both in terms of succession planning for future roles in the organization.
Absolutely. And it enriches the talent mobility, to use some HR speak, but the ability for people to move around in the organization, see the opportunities that are available, is really enhanced. And in fact, it's one of the areas of focus going forwards for us, is we really want to try and break down these functional silos and create more of these cross-functional moves, because I think our eyes have also been opened as we've gone through this process over the last couple of years in noticing the portability of skills across the organization, and how with some focused training and flex experiences and this kind of thing, we actually really can help people reskill into other functions and roles. And too often, I think in a lot of organizations, we're quite blinkered that when we hear someone's from finance, for example, we have this picture of that's a person, that's what they're capable of, this is, you know, where they're from, skills they have. And we ignore, you know, so much of their potential and what they're about. In fact, we did some research recently that showed that humans on average, if you ask them what skills they have, we'll probably name around 11 skills on average. When the AI deconstructs the role that you're doing, it comes up with about 34 skills on average in terms of what you're bringing to that. And I still think that's probably scratching the surface. So we take a way too blinkered view of what people are capable of. And I think we could do a whole lot more around internal talent mobility as we go forwards. And I would encourage other organizations to be thinking about this as well.
Mm-hmm. And I also imagine that not only is talent mobility important for the individual that is getting skilled and trained in to be much more agile, I also imagine that this has impact in terms of breaking down organizational silos. I imagine it creates a lot more connectivity throughout the organization in terms of new perspectives, new thinking, but also new creativity because somebody's coming from a different perspective.
Yeah, you're so right, Henna. In fact, with this Flex Experiences platform that I described, we found that I think it's over 60% of the projects that are done there are cross-functional, cross-geography. So different people from different functions are working on finance projects. It's not just finance people working on those. And exactly, bringing those different perspectives, bringing new ideas. We had one recent case. One of our ladies in R&D has always been passionate about our diversity and inclusion agenda. And she signed up to work on a project in the diversity and inclusion team where they were running a campaign. This was last year, actually, when we were announcing that we'd won the Catalyst Award for the work we've done on gender equality. And so she helped out with that campaign. And I remember the D&I team at the time saying, wow, what a fantastic impact she'd had, because she brought such a different perspective around consumer research, around data analysis. And her approach was just something they never would have considered in terms of thinking about how do we target things to different audiences within Unilever and externally. And the post, the epilogue to that story is that this lady from R&D now has a full-time job in the D&I team because a vacancy opened up, and now she's living her purpose in that team. So it just shows the power of when we create these opportunities for people, they will continue to surprise us with what's possible. And that's really inspiring.
It is. What an inspiring story. The other benefit that I'm hearing is because everybody gets to experience people with different perspectives, as you create talent mobility, it probably creates for a much more inclusive culture where alternate or different points of view perspectives are heard, appreciated, and that the organization itself can become more of a learning organization.
Mm, You hit the nail on the head again. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We see all those benefits coming through. We have, in fact, so specifically, we know we've been able to get innovations faster to market, better, because of the flex experience opportunities and the variety that we've brought in terms of diversity of thought into those teams. So we've got a number of case studies that prove that point.
Mm, beautiful. So, you know, Unilever has been on this journey now of purpose, organizational purpose, individual purpose, which I think is actually quite revolutionary. You know, a lot of organizations think about organizational purpose, don't always think about linking individual purpose to organizational purpose to create opportunities. And so I'm hoping that a lot of our podcast listeners, that this inspires them to do some more work in their organization. And one thing that I'm curious about is, how is Unilever impacting the ecosystem now that you're, you know, 10 years ahead of probably most other organizations, and you're thinking about that in your experimentation? Is there anything that you are doing across your ecosystem to actually help organizations, podcast listeners who want to sort of say, hey, I want to either go work for Unilever or create this Unilever sense of purpose, sustainability in my organization?
So I think the first thing I'd say, Hannah, is, as I mentioned before, we truly believe in this multi-stakeholder approach. So we're very open to working with others, particularly in things like the future of work, our social commitments, environmental impact. We know that we can't do this alone. In fact, it can be quite lonely if you are the only one talking about this kind of thing. So we do regularly work with others to make this happen. We do a lot with the World Economic Forum and various task forces there. I work regularly with a whole bunch of other organizations there in the Consumer Industry Task Force to take this agenda forwards, to drive cross-industry collaboration. So I think there is already quite an open ecosystem between Unilever and the rest of the organizations out there. I know our CHRO, Lena Nair, is also a very passionate advocate for this, and she has a huge network. And when we launched our social commitment, she sent out a note to everyone saying, if you're keen to collaborate, let us know. And I mean, we've been inundated with requests since then. So that's some of my 2 hours a week is in chatting to people who are keen to collaborate. And it's wonderful actually hearing from other organizations what they're doing, what we're doing, finding the synergies. So I think that's only going to grow exponentially as we go forwards.
And last question, which I often ask a lot of my podcast guests. We're now fast forward to 2030, 10 years, roughly 10 years from now. And you're looking back on these last 10 years and you're incredibly proud of what you have contributed, but also what we as a leadership community of people who are really passionate about advancing the field of leadership have created together. Tell me what would have happened that would have made you feel really proud.
It's a great question. I'm really inspired by the three future of work social commitments that we have made, which we've set 2030 as a target. And I don't want to be boring and just say, you know, it's these three commitments. But genuinely, I think if we're able to achieve those together with our ecosystem, I'm going to be really proud and inspired. I mean, the first commitment around reskilling and upskilling all our people with a future fit skill set, on its own, I'm really inspired by that. You know, if we get that right, it means everyone's employable, you know, in the entire Unilever organization, no matter what. And we've given them worked with them to generate the skills and the insights and the passion for how to navigate the world going forward. So that I'm really inspired about. I'm also inspired about our work we're doing pioneering these new employment models. Because again, if we can find ways to provide flexibility and security for people and help them, no matter what their life stage, to have an employment model with a Unilever that suits them, that gives them the flexibility they might want, but make sure that they're still looked after financially and from a well-being perspective, that kind of thing. And if we can be really innovative in that, so that every single employee in Unilever feels like they are working in an employment model that meets their needs. I mean, that's quite a fundamental shift in employment. You know, this 40-hour, 40-week, 40-year model has been with us for so long. We're so used to it. It's quite anathema to be thinking about how everyone could have a personalized almost experience. But imagine that we've created that. That would be hugely inspiring. And then obviously we've got a third commitment around helping 10 million young people get equipped with essential skills for the future. And probably if there's one commitment that really gets me out of bed in the morning, it's that one. Because imagine 10 million young people who are feeling confident and having the skills to apply for and get jobs. That is really exciting. So if we've managed to do that, then I'll be sleeping very peacefully at night and thinking about what's next in the morning.
God, that's so beautiful. I love that vision that you painted. And this has been such an inspiring conversation for me, Patty. And I hope that our podcast listeners are as inspired by this conversation as I am. And of course, you've brought your purpose to this podcast episode, which is to create incredible joy and optimism in the spaces that you're in. And I really deeply appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Hannah. It's been great being part of it. Great seeing you as an advocate of the work that we are doing as well, and look forward to collaborating further in future.
Thanks for listening. This is your host, Hannah Anand. Please rate, comment, and share our podcast with those you care about. Be the leader who helps others grow and thrive in times of disruption. You can visit our website at www.transformleaders.tv. There, you'll find other great tools to grow your leadership and be a force for good in these times. Until the next time, my friends.